Good morning. Today's daf from Baba Basra's Kuftes. We are on Kuftes Amud Aleph. We're right in the top of the Amud, and we are in the middle of a very basic discussion. We started yesterday the eighth parak of the Masechta. The eighth parak deals with Nachla and the halachas of Yerusha. Your halachas of Yerusha mentioned the Torah in Parshas Pinchas, parak of Zion. We went over the Pesukim yesterday. The Torah tells us that when the father passes away, so first and foremost, so the son's the Yerush. The son is going to inherit that the father's estate, and then the Torah gives what seems to be a sequence of who follows in succession. And, sorry, I have opened to the wrong, not to the wrong spot, but to a spot that we're going to do later this morning. Just quickly go back to Parshas Pinchas. The Torah gives us what seems to be succession of who then follows after the son. So the Torah says first the son, and then in the event that there is no son, there we go. And by the way, the parsha in Parshas Pinchas follows immediately after Bnos Slavchad. Bnos Slavchad had a good taina. Their father died in the midbar, and there are only five girls. And what's going to happen to them? And what's going to happen to their father's estate? Moshe Rabbeinu said, "That's a really good question. I'm not sure." And he goes and he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the answer goes as follows: "Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemor." I'm going over the pesukim again. Again, these are just like ABCs. Like without the pesukim, we're really not going to have any idea what the Gemara is talking about. Came to Slavchas Dobros, no son, titain lahem achuzas nachla. So the Torah says that you're going to give them the nachla, besocha chay aviyim, va'avartas nachlas aviyim lahem. And the nachla is going to go from the father to them. The word over here in the pasuk of avarta, I'm only making mention of this now, as you'll see later this morning, as we go through the daf, the Torah is going to spend a lot of time on the word va'avarta. Not in this particular pasuk, but just on that verb, va'avarta. In other words, when it comes to Yerusha, you're going to see two verbs that are used. You're going to see the word, you're going to see the verb titain, which is a giving, a gifting, and you're going to see the word ha'avar, which means to pass over. And you'll see specifically why, when it relates to women, the Torah uses the word vaha'avarta, as opposed to titain. That's coming up later this morning. Anyway, so then the Torah describes as follows, that when a person dies and he doesn't have a son, which means that first and foremost, the primary benefactor, or recipient, I should say, of the Yerusha is going to be the son. Now, what if there isn't a son? So then the Torah says, so then it goes over to the daughter. Again, I'm just focusing on the word va'avarta. I'm setting the seed for later this morning. V'im ein lo bas, and now if there's no daughter, nasatam es nachlas olechav. Now if there's no daughter, so then it goes to the brothers, meaning the brothers of the deceased. V'im ein lo achim, now if there's no brothers to the deceased, nasatam es nachlas o l'achi aviv. So then you give it to the uncles of the deceased. V'im ein achim l'aviv, nasatam es nachlas o l'sheiro. Now if there's no uncle, so then you give it to the next closest relative, ha'karov elav. Okay, and that's the parsha. What is of interesting note, and it's really we started this discussion yesterday, and now we're going to get right into it now. And that is that in the succession, the line of succession, dad's not mentioned. Now he's clearly it's a conspicuous absence. It's really strange that dad is not mentioned in the succession of the Yerusha. And it's very strange because the way that the Torah cites the succession, it's first the generation below, then it's the generation across, and it's not like the Torah ignores the generation above, meaning the Torah talks about the uncle, which is clearly the generation above, but in doing so, the Torah clearly leaves out dad from the whole discussion. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean that the father is not going to be Yerusha's son, as we're learning in yesterday's daf, as we're going to continue learning today's daf. Dad is going to be a Yerush. He will inherit. In fact, that's what the Mishnah taught us yesterday, that there is a category of people that are nochel and manchel, that it goes in both directions. In other words, whoever predeceases whom, there's going to be Yerusha passed in either direction. And of those, the first thing mentioned in the Mishnah is Ha'avis Abanim Va'abanim Asav. Dad's going to inherit his son, which means that if the son predeceases the father, and the son himself doesn't have any sons, so then the Yerusha, the estate, is going to go up to the father. And then the Mishnah says, and if the father predeceases the son, which is natural, that's what normally happens, so then the son is going to inherit his father. And so it is a conspicuous absence in the Torah that dad's not mentioned. Okay. On top of that, as we also pointed out yesterday, it's a funny place for the Mishnah to start, meaning the Mishnah introduces us to the topic of Yerusha, and the first case of the Mishnah is that you know he's going to be Yerush, dad's going to be Yerush's son. That's very, very strange. And it's unnatural. It's not normal for a father to survive his own son. Why would the Mishnah start there? And the Gemara yesterday says it's a funny place to start the Mishnah. And aschuli b'peronos alom aschalina. You don't start with tragedy. Meaning, yes, it does happen. It could happen. And yes, that's in fact the halacha. But that's the starting point. That's where we should start the whole discussion. That dad's going to inherit his son. It's a funny place to start. So what the Gemara taught us yesterday is that these two questions actually intersect, and that is that the fact that the Torah doesn't mention it and the fact that it's learned out through a drasha is exactly the reason why the Mishnah started off on this point, because it's coming out through a drasha. And the Gemara says that the chavivale, that when we have a drasha, there's a certain affinity and attachment that we have to a drasha, and since we learn out Yerusha Ta'av through a drasha, therefore our Mishnah starts off with that point. And that's what we learned yesterday. And where is that in the Torah? Meaning, where is Yerusha Ta'av in the Torah? So it's encrypted. And where is the encryption? It comes from the word She'ero. In the Psukim that I just read, so it says that if there is no son, then it goes to the daughter. If there's no daughter, then it goes to the brothers. If there's no brothers, it goes to the uncle. And then the Torah says, Unisata Masnachal So L'She'ero HaKorav Elav. It then goes to the next relative, She'ero. Now, admittedly, and the Gemara is going to acknowledge this, I mean, it's an obvious point, the She'ero is mentioned at the end, and what we're going to do, of course, is we're going to insert dad somewhere in the middle in the line of succession, but admittedly it's at the end, but that's where dad is, meaning encrypted in the Torah, in the word She'ero, is dad. That's what She'ero is making reference to. So the Gemara, let me just finish summarizing the Gemara, and then we'll pick it up from there. So the Gemara says, okay, so now that we know that dad is encrypted, and we know that dad is in the line of Yerusha, so the Gemara's question was, well, why don't we put him at the number one spot? Meaning, so if, in the event that a person dies, so the first Yerusha should be the father. So the Gemara says, no. We're not going to entertain such an idea. Why? Because the Torah says HaKarov and Karov Kodnem. In other words, in the line of succession, whoever's closest is going to be first in line for the Yerusha. And the Gemara argues the son is the closest. The meaning of the deceased, his son is going to be the closest related to him. How do I know that? So the Gemara yesterday offered two arguments that how we know that. And it's really three arguments. And really, when you distill it and you boil it down, it's really one argument. Okay, I know. I just wrote a lot of numbers. So what are the two arguments? So the two arguments are, says the Gemara, that we look at the mitzvah of Yud and we look at the mitzvah of Steachuza, and both of those tell us that the son serves as a substitute for his father. In the mitzvah of Yud, we know that when you purchase an Amma Ivriya, when I say you, I don't mean us. I mean, we haven't done that in a long time. But when one purchases an Amma Ivriya, so the purpose of doing so is for the purpose of Yud, meaning it's gonna result in marriage. It's a special type of marriage. It's called Yud. To mention the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. If the father does not want to do the mitzvah of Yud, so who's able to take his place, his stead? The answer is the son. Torah says. So, the v'imbnolo yadena. So if he or the son doesn't do the mitzvah of Yud, so there's one example. A second example, steachuza. A person consecrates his field. He's makdish his field. And then the halacha is that if somebody else is poed to the field in Yovel, the field then does not go back to the original owner, but rather the field goes to the Kohanim. If, however, he's poed to his field or his son is poed to his field, so then the field, in fact, goes back to the family. So that's another example in the Torah where the son is a substitute for the father. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we make the following argument? You know, there's an instance in the Torah where the brother becomes a substitute for the person, and that, of course, is a mitzvah of Yibam. But the Gemara says, wait one second, that's a proof? If anything, that's a proof that the son serves as a substitute. Why? Because we know, the halach is that in the event that a person dies and he has children, so then there is no mitzvah of Yibum. So clearly, in the mitzvah of Yibum, if anything, Yibum is an indication that a son serves as a substitute for the parent. So, like I said, there are two arguments. The Gemara actually introduces a third argument, and then the Gemara points out, and this is where we ended off yesterday, and this is where we're picking speaking of today, the truth of the matter is it's really all one argument. Meaning Yibum really is the core argument that a son substitutes for the father because of this of the point we just made. That in the event that a person dies and he has children, then there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Why? Because he's continued. Meaning his name is perpetuated. He has a son. Or as we'll see in just a moment, or he has a daughter. Meaning as long as he has a child, so then there is a then there is no mitzvah of Yibum. And again, proof positive to this idea that the son serves as a substitute for the father. So to the suggestion that we made yesterday, that maybe we know dad's there, we know he's somewhere in the succession on the line of Yerusha, so why don't we put him in the number one spot? The Gemara says we can't. Because HaKarov means Karov Kodnim. We go first in terms of who's closer, and it has been established that the son is closer. Okay. Kuf Tes Amud Aleph, we're very at the very top of the Amud. We're towards the top of the Amud. Let me just read that again. Steachuz, I'm reading the top line. I know I just said this over in the review, but I'll just read it again. Steachuz Gufa Mehai Taima. As far as Steachuz is concerned, we learned it from this very reason. Hude Kakaima Leilatana. Meaning the author of the Tana learned it from this very reason that we just articulated. Klum Yesh Yibam Melaba Makum Shein Ben. That the only reason why there's Yibam is because there's no son. Ha Yesh Ben, Ein Yibam. But once there's a son, then there's no mitzvah of Yibam. So that really becomes the core construct argument of once there's a son, so then there's no mitzvah of Yibum, meaning clearly that the son is a substitute for the father. And the son is the closest karov to that of the father. Okay. The aim of the Bachav Zavav. This is a continuation. This is not a new point. This is just a continuation of the previous discussion. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we do the following? Again, the word Sheiro is an encryption. It really is a reference to dad. So, Malame Cha'av Kodin Labas. And why don't we suggest the following, says the Gemara. Good. So I'm not going to put dad in the number one spot. The number one spot belongs to the son. Gemara says that's fine. But why don't we insert dad now between son and daughter? So, Yachol Yaktim Leben. So the Gemara says, and I'm sorry, Sha'av Kodin Labas, Yachol Yaktim Leben. So the Gemara says, so that's what we should do. What we should now do is insert dad between the son and the daughter. Meaning, if there's a son, he goes first. Then if there's no son, so then dad, and then what? And then afterwards, daughter. Right? I'll share with you an interesting Rashbam. The Rashbam over here writes, and now we're going to end up rejecting this, meaning this is the Gemara's Havamina, and we're going to end up rejecting it. And it's going to be, the halacha is that first son, then daughter, and then. But right now, in the Gemara's proposal that dad should come between son and daughter, look at the Rashbam, the very interesting Rashbam. He writes the following. It's the third Rashbam on the Amud. It's the second to last narrow line. Malamishav kodin labas dahaino kamatachas avil klum kivno. Meaning we don't see the daughter as a substitute for the father. So again, in this argument of the line of succession goes based on a closeness. Again, we know the son is the closest. That's clear. But the Gemara says, but right now we're questioning the daughter. We don't find that the daughter serves as a replacement. Uka'achiv. Leklum kev no ka'achiv. She's not like the son and she's not like the brothers. Vesider sapsukim kain. And now, here's what the Gemara's proposal is in terms of order. Ishkiyam usuveinen lo nasatam es nachlos ol she'ero. So if there is no son, so now we're going to go directly to the she'er. The she'er's dad. Ve'im ein lo she'er. Now if there's no dad, unasatam es nachlos ol achiv. Then we'll go to the brothers. And then v'imein lo achim. Now, if there are no brothers, v'avartem es nachlas ol abito. And then, in the event that there are no brothers, then we'll go to the daughter. V'imein lo bas nesata nachlas ol achi aviv. And then, if that doesn't exist, so then we'll go up to the uncles. So, right now, in the Gemara's proposal, as explained by the Rashbam, the order would be son, father, brothers, daughter, and then uncles. Yes. So excellent. It set me up perfectly. So what's perfect? So why would the Rashbam say that? So presumably because, and this is one of those basic questions that comes up, and there is no definitive answer. But it's a really interesting point, and that is that when the brothers inherit their brother's estate. meaning in the event that there are no children, so then the brothers are going to inherit. How does that work? Meaning, are they inheriting because they are a Yorish? They're just simply on the line of succession. They're just simply a point on the line of succession, or maybe no. Maybe when the brothers are inheriting, that's really coming as a result of their sharing the same father. Meaning that they are not their own Yorish, but rather they are serving as a function of dad. Meaning that dad inherits, and since dad inherits, so therefore the brothers inherits as well. So in other words, basically, in this way of thinking, really the brothers are nothing more than just simply a subcategory of dad. So once we're inserting dad in between the son and the daughter, well, we're putting in dad, and we're putting his offshoots in as well, which means the brothers. That's why the Rashbam is saying over here that in our suggestion of son, followed then by dad, well, then you got a brother come in tow. Then the daughter. And then if the daughter's not there, then the uncles. That's, again, the Rashbam isn't saying all this, but that's probably what's behind the Rashbam and his thought process. Continue now going back to the Gemara. So this is what the Gemara's proposal is, and the Gemara just rejects it. And the Gemara says no. So Tamalama Karav 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 Kodnim. Kavan de Inyan Yibum Ben Ubaski Adadininu, Linyanach Lanami Ben Ubaski Adadininu. So the Gemara categorically rejects it for a very simple reason. Again, what's the basic underlying presumption, assumption of this entire discussion? And that is line of succession is based on closeness. We've established that the son is the closest. Why? Because he serves as a substitute. The truth of the matter is the daughter does as well. How do I know that? The mitzvah of Yibum. Because what happens in the event that a man dies and he didn't leave any children, but he left daughters? Halacha is no Yibum. So just as we've argued previously that a son is going to serve as a substitute in that we know that there's no Yibum, so now we're just going to look at the very same halacha, and the same thing is true with the daughter. A person dies and he leaves a daughter, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Why? Because we now have a continued line of succession. And the daughter serves as a replacement to the father. So now we know that, in terms of Karav Kodem, it's going to be son, then it's going to be daughter. And then if there's no daughter, now we can discuss. But daughter clearly is on par with son vis-a-vis line of succession. Now, again, by the way, just keep everything in line. Meaning, son and daughter are not equal, obviously. Meaning that if a person dies and he has sons and daughters, the sons inherit, the daughters do not. So, but in the event of line of succession, clearly it would be son, and if there are no sons, then daughter, and then after that, we'll go on to discuss. So the Gemara says, "Ki adadinenu." Just as an interesting note, I'm not going to go through it, but I'll make mention of it. Where do we know that if there's a daughter, there's no yibum? Meaning the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says uven en lo, that if he doesn't have a son, so then there's a mitzvah of yibum. How do we know the same thing is true regarding the daughter? Meaning we know it's true. I mean the Gemara just said it, but what's the source of that? So top tosos. See the top tosos for discussion at that point of where it's generated from. But anyway, but we know it's true. So the Gemara says, now we're continuing in the Gemara, we're on Koftes Amud Aleph, we're just short of halfway down in the Amud. So the Gemara says, so let's do like as follows. She'ero is a reference to the dad. Again, we know that dad's there in the line of succession. We don't know where he is. So the Gemara now is suggesting that the dad should come before the uncle, which is accurate, which is correct. Yachol yakdim la'achin. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we should put dad in front of the brothers. Okay, meaning again, dad is a moving target. So we know he's not in front of the son. We know now he's not in front of the daughter. But the Gemara says, but let's put him in front of the sons. Tamalamar ha-karov, karov, karov, kodem. So the Gemara says, everything is based on who is closer. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, now as far as the uncles are concerned, I don't need a pasuk. Meaning, in terms of placing them in the proper order in this line of succession, the Gemara says, well, let's think about this. Meaning, how are the uncles inheriting? They're only inheriting because of dad. meaning they are the brothers of the dad. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so mikoch man kaase, who else do you think they're coming as a result of? Mikoch av. Kai av, kai yarse ache aviv. So once dad is there, so then those who inherit through dad, meaning the uncles, are going to inherit as well. So the Gemara says, so now, we're certainly not going to put dad after the uncles. That's absurd. So the Gemara says, so therefore, we're going to put him before the uncles. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's not how the Pesukim read. Meaning, as I already mentioned before, but now the Gemara is making note of it. Where is She'iro in the Pesukim? It's after everything. Meaning, She'iro is after the son, after the daughter, after the brothers, after the uncles, then you have She'iro. So how can we put She'iro in front of anybody? So the Gemara says, Dichsiv, v'imenachim la'aviv v'chulei. So the Gemara says, Kri shelo kisidron ksivei. So the Gemara says, okay, but well, you have to respect the fact that the Torah did not put it in any particular order. That's not what I said, is not perfectly true, but in terms of the She'iro, that's not order specific, and therefore it allows the Chachamim to make determinations based on a lot of what we just discussed between yesterday and today in terms of where to fit that in the order. Okay, Ad Kan. Alright, so what do we have right now? So basically we have, so far in quick summation, one drasha. In terms of dad is not mentioned in the Torah, dad is in the line of succession of Yerusha. Where is he in the Torah and where is he in the line of succession? So right now the answer is that he's encrypted in the Torah with the word She'iro. As a basic question, which I'll ask, I have a couple of answers, but as a basic question, why didn't the Torah mention dad? It is unusual that the Torah did not mention the dad in the line of succession. Torah mentions the son, the brothers, the son, daughter, brothers, the uncle. And again, so it's clear that the Torah is not opposed to even mentioning that he's survived by an older generation. But Torah mentions sons, daughter, brother, uncle, and the Torah does not mention dad. So why doesn't the Torah mention dad? So I saw a couple suggestions by the Rishonim. One is that it's such a tragedy the Torah doesn't even want to mention it. It's a very Jewish answer. But the Torah doesn't even want to mention it. Another suggestion, the Ramban on Chumash. Ramban on Chumash says that the Torah does mention it based on basically a reciprocal understanding. Meaning, once the Torah tells us that the son inherits the father, so then there is a reciprocal understanding of, and that means then that the father inherits the son. Meaning, whatever Yerusha is mentioned in the Torah works in both directions, right? The son inherits the daughter. Well, that means that, sorry, the daughter inherits the son. Well, that means from a reciprocal standpoint, father's going to inherit the daughter. Not in all cases, but in other words, the Torah is mentioning it just by an assumed reciprocation. That's the Ramban on Chumash. Anyway, so we again, just quick summation. The Torah does not mention dad in the line of succession. So the Gemara says it's learned out through a drasha. He's encrypted in the word She'iro. And then it's just a question of where to put him. Where to put him in the line of succession. And then now, based on what we just saw together, the line of succession is going to be son, followed by daughter, followed by brother, followed by dad, followed then by the uncles. Okay. Ad Kan.
Brother before father?
Huh?
Brother before
the brothers of the... brothers of the deceased.
Before the father?
No.
Father.
No, right. I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry. The Gemara entertained that as a proposal, but you're right. No, you're absolutely right. Okay. Next. The Gemara says that there's another way to darshan this as well. Okay, thank you. The Gemara now has a second drasha. in terms of, we're going to arrive at the same conclusion, it's just a question of methodology and how we get there. So the Gemara brings in another drasha, another brisa. The Tanya will enter in the following brisa. Etzu darish Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, and this is a drasha credited to Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi. Ish ki amosu b'nein lo, when a man dies and doesn't have a son, b'makom bas atam avir nachla min ha'av. So, when there's a father, you're going to skip over the father and go to the daughter. Meaning, from the where is dad? Encrypted in the word v'ha'avarta. I told you earlier this morning, pay careful attention to the word v'avarta. This drasha is now going to be focusing on the word v'avarta. Again, as I mentioned earlier, there are really two verbs when you could describe a state going from one to another. It could either come from the simple verb of titain, to give, or the Torah sometimes chooses the words vavarta. When is the Torah choosing that verb vavarta? When it refers to the daughter. Meaning, so now let's read the Pesukim based on what we just learned together. The main low bas, sorry, let me go jump up a little bit before him. Uvenein lo, the haavarta mesnachala solabito. It passes over to the daughter, which means that somebody's there who we would think should get the Yerusha, but for now, we're going to pass them over. That's a concealed reference to dad. So, dad, you're there. You're a thought right now in terms of getting the Yerusha, but we're going to pass over you. We're going to go to the daughter. And then in the event that there's no daughter, then we'll go to the father. This is the drasha of Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi. V'yatamavir nachla min ha'av b'makom achim. However, that's not going to be true if there are brothers. Meaning, if there are brothers, it's not going to pass over dad, but it's going to go straight to the brothers. And again, if you look in the Pesukim, so once again, by the brothers, what verb does the Torah use in description of the brothers? Right, sorry, I lost my spot again. V'imein lo bas unisatem es nachloso la'aviv. There it's the Sina. Meaning, so right. So when it's the daughter, it's ha'avara, because we're passing over dad in order to go to the daughter. But now, if there's no son and there's no daughter, then it goes to dad. And then if there's no father, then it goes to the brothers. V'ema, the Gemara now, in this drasha, is suggesting b'makom basa tamavir nachla min ha'achim. If there's a daughter, so then it passes over the brothers. V'i atamavir nachla min ha'av afilu b'makom bas. However, it doesn't pass over the father even in the event that there's a daughter. Meaning, again, now what the Gemara is suggesting, similar to what we suggested earlier, is that not only is dad there in the line of succession, but move him up, meaning move him in front of the daughters. And yes, it's true, the Torah says regarding the daughters, Vavarta, you're going to pass over. But what that means is that in the event that there's a daughter, you'll pass over the brothers of the deceased. But not that we're going to pass over the father, meaning, again, the Gemara suggesting is that the line of succession should be son, dad, daughter. But again, the Gemara immediately rejects this. Imkein lo nichtav rechmana vavartem. So the Gemara says, yeah, but then the Torah shouldn't use the word vavartem when describing the daughter. Meaning when describing the daughter, the Torah says vavartem, we're passing over somebody. Who are we passing over? We're passing over dad. Okay. So, what do we have right now is we have two different drushas in terms of how do we know that dad is there, and as a next important question, where does dad belong in the succession, in the line of succession? So we are either learning it out from the word she'ero. She'ero is the father. Now, but you have to say, which the Gemara did say on the Amud Aleph, is that the Torah wrote Kelokis Sidron. Meaning, even though the she'ero is at the end of the list, but dad is going to move. In other words, dad is there as she'ero, and he moves up. And why does he move up? Because Karev Kodnim. Because we have to base it on who's closest. Son is the closest, followed then by the daughter, followed then by dad. Okay. Or the other drasha, is the one we just learned together, is that when the Torah describes the Yerusha going to the daughter, the Torah says, Va'avartem. You're going to pass them over. So who are you passing over? You're passing over the father. Meaning, yeah, you would have thought that it should go to the father, but no, you pass them over, you give it to the daughter, and then in the event that there's no daughter, then it goes to the dad. That's the other drasha.
Why is it
plural? I was thinking that. I don't have a good suggestion. Okay. Good. Okay. Huh?
Maybe it's the
Bezdin. It's a plausible suggestion, right? Phil said that maybe it's Bezdin. who's going to be doing it, you know, who's going to be doing the action. Right. Just another general comment. I know I'm in the middle of the Gemara's discussion. Another general comment, and that is that this is a mitzvah. Who is it a mitzvah incumbent on? Right. In other words, the Rambam counts this as one of the 248 mitzvahs in the Torah. In fact, in his Minyan of Mitzvahs, this is number 248. The last positive mitzvah the Rambam counts. Who's this mitzvah on? In other words, it's a strange thing. Normally, a mitzvah is an action point that I do. Over here, it's kind of passive. It's not
that you do after you die.
Right, exactly. So, okay, right there, it's a funny point, but still, okay, whatever. Ulaman denafka le me'avartem. All right, so now the Gemara is going to do its classic accounting, which is you have two different drushas that arrive at the same conclusion. We know Dad is there. We know he's part of the line of succession. We also agree to where he belongs in the line of succession. Just a question of which drush you're going to use. You're going to use the drush of Sheiro, you're going to use the drush of Avartim. And in the Gemara's classic accounting, we're now going to just discuss what does each Tana do with the other drusha. So, Ulamanda Nafkalem Avartim, Hai Sheiro, Mai Avile, what are you going to do with the Pasuk of Sheiro? So, Mi Baile Lechadatanya Sheiro, Zuishto, Malam Echa Habal Yorishis Ishto. So, if you learn it out from Avartim, Sheiro is coming to teach us a different halacha, and that is Yerushas Habal. That in a marriage, a husband is going to inherit his wife's estate. Ulamanda Nafkalem Mesheiro, Hai Vavartim, Mai Avile. And if you learn out Sheiro, what do you do with Vavartim, Mi Baile Lechadatanya? So, that's coming to teach us another point, another brisa, which is Rabbi Omer, Bekula Namar Bahem. The Rebbe comments what we have already commented, and that in all other successions, the Torah's verb is nesina. When it comes to the daughter, it's havara. Why? She'en lecha shema'avir nachla mishev l'shevet elabas ho'uvna ubala yorshinosa. Where do we find that land is going to move from one tribe to another tribe? And we are only going to find that by the daughter. A daughter is going to create a scenario in which the tribal land is going to be moving from one tribe to another tribe. Right? We'll talk later in this perek. You know that there was originally a prohibition of intermarriage amongst tribes. Intertribal marriage. A prohibition against it. But as we'll learn later in the perek, that's only for generation number one. There's no prohibition past that point. So, and that's why the Torah uses the word Vavartim, because when a daughter gets married and she marries somebody from another tribe, so that can create a land moving from one to another. Okay. Now the Gemara continues, summing up, wrapping up a lot of this discussion. We said that Sheiroch, at least according to one Tana, is a reference to father. How do we know that? Meaning, where do we see elsewhere in Torah that Sheiroch is a reference to dad? So, Dechziv, She'er Avicha, who? So the Gemara says, in relating to the Arayos, we just read in the Torah, Parshas Achrayimos and in Parshas Kedoshim. So the Torah describes that one is not allowed to have relations with one's aunt. She is She'er Avichahu. She is the She'er, the relative of your father. So, Ema She'eru Zuhaim. Dechziv She'erim Chahi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know that vis-a-vis one's aunt on your mother's side, she's also an erva. And the Torah says, Shera imchahi. So, Amarav, Amakra, Mimishpachto, V'yaresh Osa. So the Gemara says, no. Meaning, yes and no. Meaning, yes. She'ero sometimes is a reference to mom as well as dad. But in our context, clearly it's a reference to dad, not to mom. How do I know that? Because the Torah here, in describing Yerusha, describes it, puts it in a sub-context of Mishpacha. And Mishpacha Sav, Kriya Mishpacha, Mishpacha's name, and a Kriya Mishpacha. And the Gemara says that when it comes to Mishpacha, Mishpacha comes through the father's line. Mishpacha does not come through the mother's line, meaning that we don't put it in the category of Mishpacha. So the Gemara says, Dechsiv, and how do I know that? Because it says, L'mishpacho samla beis avosam. Well, as we are going to start shortly enough, the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar, so the Torah is very clear that Mishpacha is beis avosam. It's based on the father's line. Well, Mishpacha zeme nekruim Mishpacha, the Gemara says, is that really true? V'haksiv. And now the Gemara is going to note that it does seem somewhere in Tanakh that Mishpacha can be based on the mother's line. Or so it would seem, based on the following. The Haksiv, the Torah quotes the pasuk from Sefer Shoftim, Perek Yud Zayin. Okay, end of Sefer Shoftim, it does not end favorably. There are two watershed events that take place at the end of Sefer Shoftim. One is Pesel Micha, and the other is Pilagish Begiva. So Pesel Micha is chapter 17-18. And then Parakim 19, 20, and 21, at the end of Sefer Shoftim, that's Pilagish Begiva. Okay, two watershed events. And the Gemara over here now is in Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Shoftim, and we're talking about Pesel Micha. Micha set up a idol, and it became popular. And Vayinar me beis lechem Yehuda, me mishpachas Yehuda, v'hu Levi, v'hu Garsham. So the Gemara quotes the Pesukim, and the Pesuk says that there was this young man from Bethlehem, from Beis Lechem, and he was from the family of Yehuda, and he was a Levi. Now, how can that be? In other words, you can't be both. In other words, you must be from one of the Shvatim. What the Gemara is assuming right now is that he was from Shevet Levi. Otherwise, why else would we be calling him a Levi, even though he was Mishpachas Yehuda? And so what the Gemara now is suggesting is that Ma must be from Yehuda, and yet the Navi describes them as Mishpachas Yehuda. Now that runs counter to what we just argued. We just argued that Mishpacha only comes from a father's line, not from a mother's line. So obviously, to us now, these Pesukim are confusing.
Who then could be that his name was Levi?
Well, wait 1 second. We're going to get there. So Hagu Vakashia. So the Gemara says, so obviously there's some sort of internal contradiction. Amart v'hu Levi, Amami Levi, Asi, Mi Mishpachas Yehuda, Amami Yehuda, Asi. So he's from Levi, he's from Yehuda. El Alav. So the Gemara now is making a suggestion, which is, Davu Ami Levi, V'imami Yehuda. That dad is from Shevet Levi, mom is from Shevet Yehuda, V'kama Mishpachas Yehuda. And yet it says Mishpachas Yehuda. And that runs counter to what we just offered as a premise, which is that Mishpacha is only coming from the father's line, not from the mother's line. Amar Rava bar Rav Chanan lo, Gavra d'shmei Levi. So he says, okay, but our suggestion was wrong. Meaning we thought that he was Levi, he was from Sheva Levi. No, Levi was his name. So the Gemara says, well, that doesn't make sense, because this young man who started worshiping the idol, so it really emboldened, it empowered Micha. Meaning Micha looked at this and said, oh, a siman min hashamayim. This is good stuff. I got this young man worshiping, and he says, and the Gemara quotes, Atayat ki tav Hashem li ki ayali alevi lechaim. Amazing, says Micha. I got this young man who's now worshiping, and he's from Shevet Levi. Meaning, Levim are the ones doing the Avoda. And I got one of the best candidates in terms of worshiping my idol. It's a good siman. Correct. So the Gemara says, So what the Gemara now is balking at is the idea that he doesn't come from Shevet Levi. Clearly he does, because it emboldened Micha when Micha saw that this kid was worshiping his idol. So the Gemara says, no, we're going to go back to what we just argued, and that really he's not from Shevet Levi. He really is from Shevet Yehuda, and his name was Levi. But just his name being Levi is what emboldened Micha, and that's exactly what the Gemara says in Disramele Gavra Dishmei Levi. Just the fact that his name was Levi was enough to embolden him. And look, I mean, just in terms of good musa to learn from the Gemara, meaning when you want to rationalize an action, it's not going to take much to get you excited and to build an argument in your head. Oh, this is a good idea. Look, and as long as you're in the process of rationalizing, you'll use anything to rationalize. Even though his name, it's just a name. Its name is Levi, but that gave Micha the koach now to go forward. So v'chi Levi shmavalo Yonasan shmoshen emar. The Gemara says, now wait 1 second. His name wasn't Levi. His name was Yonasan. We know that based on the pesukim in the Navi. The Navi says Yonasan being Gershom Menashehu. Uvanav hayu koneim l'shevet adani. So it was Yonasan, son of Gershon, son of Menashe. Now, parenthetically, by the way, when the Navi says he was the son of Menashe, so you know it's not really Menashe. You know who that is. Okay, I'll give it away. It's Moshe. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. So, We'll come back to that point in just a second. In the meantime, however, his name was not Levi. His name was Yohanan's son. The Navi says so. So, Amar Leila Tamech V'chi Ben Menashe Hu V'alo Ben Moshe Hu. So the Gemara says, the Gemara gives it away now. Gemara says, wait 1 second. The grandfather wasn't Menashe. The grandfather was none other than Moshe. D'chsiv, and by the way, I know I'm right now the only one looking in the Tanakh, but you can trust me on this one. I'm looking right at it. When the Navi says the word Menashe, so the ksiv is that Nun is not running parallel with the other letters, meaning it's Mem, Nun, what's it called? Not subscript, but superscript. Thank you. Okay, the Nun is superscript, and then Shin Hei. So the Navi is kind of winking at us, telling us it really is Moshe, right? The nun is there, but you know, to protect the innocent. So the Vahalo ben Moshe who dichsiv b'nei Moshe Gershom v'Eliezer. So we know that Moshe fathered two children, Gershom and Eliezer, and so Micha now is a sorry, not Micha. Yohanan's son is the son of Gershom, son of Moshe. So clearly, when the Navi is giving us these names, they are not the actual names. Ella, Mitoch Sha'asa Ma'isa Menashe, Talo Akasa B'Menashe. So what he's doing is, he meaning this kid who was serving Micha's idol, is he was doing an act similar to that of Menashe. Now, Menashe doesn't come up until years later. Menashe is one of the Malchi Yehuda who, as a king of Yehuda, was a train wreck, meaning he was promoting idolatry. So Menashe was the son of Chizkiyahu, and he was and Chizkiyahu, remember, the Chizkiyahu didn't want to have children because he knew that that his son would end up being an Ovid Avodah Zarah and not a good leader for the Jewish people. Navi told him that that's not your issue. Your issue is to have children, and how they end up, that's not your issue. Chizkiyahu was given a 15-year extension of life. Anyway, so when the Torah over here, when the Navi over here is describing him as Ben Menashe, just the word Menashe over there is not a proper name. It's a descriptive name. He's behaving like Menashe, so therefore the Navi is giving him the name Menashe. So Hachanami mitoch shasa maisa Menashe dasim Yehuda tala kasa b'Yehuda. So here also, in other words, it says Mishpachas Yehuda. Again, Yehuda over here is not a proper name. In other words, he's behaving like Yehuda, so therefore, he is given the descriptive name of Yehuda. So, okay, fine. And Yehuda over here, by meaning obviously. When the Gemara says, it's a little bit strange. When the Gemara says he's behaving like Yehuda, meaning not Yehuda himself, but the progeny of Yehuda. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So what did we get from all this? Is that the Gemara attempted to poke a hole in the premise that Mishpacha follows the mother's line. We do find that at least one place in Navi in Shoftim, it seems to be that he's from Mishpachas Yehuda, which is the mother's line, but the Gemara categorically rejects it, meaning it's just not true. And Yehuda over there is not used as a proper noun, but rather as a descriptive adjective. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Mikan Shetolna Sakilkala BeMekukal. So the Gemara says that this is a source that we connect somebody who is behaving in a disgraced manner with somebody else who's behaving in a disgraced manner. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chinen, Amar Mehacha, another source where we find this idea. Vegam Utov Tawar Ma'od, Ve'oso Yalda Acher Avshalom. I'm sorry, Acharei Avshalom. So the Gemara says, and he was born after Avshalom. V'ala Adiyanao ben Chagiz v'Avshalom ben Macha. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. So Adiniyahu was the son of Chagiz, and Avshalom was the son of Macha. Ela mitoch she'asa maisa Avshalom, demar b'macha, talak asa b'Avshalom. The word Avshalom over here in describing Adiniyahu was just simply because they behave the same, so therefore you could use one name to describe another person's name. And again, the idea of tolin mekalkel b'mekukal. Okay, so just wrapping up today's daf. So, I'll go a little bit further just to finish the daf. But what do we have so far in terms of just a good summary of what we discussed today? That is part of the line of succession. It's not mentioned in the Torah, but he's part of the line of succession. How do I know that? There are two drushas that arrive at this conclusion. One of them is the word Sheiro, which is an encryption for the father, which, as we pointed out in the Arayas that we read just last week in Parsha, so we know that Sheir is a reference to the father. And we also know, based on the fact that it says Mishpacha, so in terms of Yerusha, so the dad is there as well. Where does he exist? So, Shiloh Kisidron. Even though Sheiro is mentioned at the end, but he comes at an earlier point in time, that's based on the idea that the Torah says HaKarov, that you follow the line of succession. First son, then daughter, then dad. The other drasha is Vahavarta, meaning that if there's no son, so then you're going to pass him over. Who are we passing over? Dad. In order to give the Yerusha to the daughter. And then if there's no daughter, then it goes to the father. Okay, and then the Gemara did its classic accounting. What if you subscribe to this drasha, what are you going to do with the other drasha? And the Gemara filled in the blanks for both of those drashas. And then a premise that when you see the word Mishpacha, it's a reference to the father, not to the mother. The incident by Pesel Micha seems to run contrary to that. The Gemara answered that up. And just finishing up today's daf, Amar Rebbe Elazar. Sixth line from the bottom. La'olam yidbak adam bitovim. Make it a point that when you are making shiduchim, so make sure that you make shiduchim with a good family. Okay. Share Moshe Shanasa Bas Yisro Yatsimimen Yonasan. And right, the Gemara is unabashed in its criticism. You know, Moshe married Yisro. So Yisro comes from a lineage of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Now, yes, it's true. Yisro is given a lot of praise for running counter to the Avodah Zarah, but there's a lot of Avodah Zarah in the family. And then, again, the Gemara is unabashed in its criticism.
So was Lavan.
I know. It's definitely a delicate topic. It's a sensitive topic. But I'm just saying the Gemara Kipshuta, and then what ends up happening is that the Avodah Zarah ends up following in the generations. So in other words, so what happens is that Yisro's influence, or however you want to say it, but his attachment to Avodah Zarah stays in the family, and then we go no further than Moshe's very own grandson, who is an Ovid Avodah Zarah by Pesel Micha. So Aaron, Shanasa Basaminadav, Yatsamimenu Pinchas. Aaron, on the other hand, who married the daughter of Aminadav, so his progeny is Pinchas. His grandchild is Pinchas. Upinchas la Yisro Asir. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. Didn't Pinchas come from Yisro? Vaksiv Alazar ben Aaron lakach lo mibnos putiyo lo lisha. Who did Alazar marry? He married from the daughters of Putiel. So my love dasim Yisro shepitem egalim la vodazara. Now the Torah doesn't say that Putiel was Yisro, but midrashically, isn't it in fact so that Yisro is described as somebody who originally in his early life. Or served Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, "Lo, dasim Yosef shepit bebi Yitzro." No, the Gemara says, "No." It's a reference to Yosef, who instigated. He fought with his Yitzhara, speaking about the incident of Eshes Potiphar. V'alo shvatim vazim asov v'omrim reisam ben putizeh ben shepitem avi imo agam laAvodah Zarah yarug nasi shevim Yisrael. Yeah, the Gemara says, but when we saw that Pinchas killed the head of a shevet. So the people were deriding him, and they said, look, what a hypocrite. Meaning his grandfather, or great-grandfather, but his grandfather was serving idolatry. And now he has the goal, he has the audacity to kill somebody ahead of the Shevet. So the Gemara says, Ella, Iavua di imei mi Yosef, ima di imei mi Yisro. Iavua di imei mi Yisro, ima di imei mi Yosef. So the Gemara says, really, it's a blend. Meaning that Pinchas comes from a blended family of, however you want to say it, but he's coming from a combination of Yosef and Yisro. Dekanami dechsiv mi bnos Putiel. So the Gemara says he's coming from the daughters of Putiel. Tartishmamina. So again, so from somewhere in the line, he's a cross between Yisro and Yosef. So the Gemara says, so fine. But it doesn't affect the original point of the Gemara, which is that in Shiduchim, you just got to be careful. Okay.